They were fighting over apples again. He wanted to grow more eaters to eat. She wanted spitters to drink. It was an argument rehearsed so often that by now they both played their parts perfectly, their words flowing smooth and monotonous around each other, since they had heard them enough times not to have to listen anymore. What made the fight between sweet and sour different this time was not that James Goodenough was tired. He was always tired. It wore a man down, carving out a life from the black swamp. It was not that Sadie Goodenough was hung over. She was often hung over. The difference was that John Chapman had been with them the night before. Of all the Goodenoughs, only Sadie stayed up and listened to him talk late into the night, occasionally throwing pine cones onto the fire to make it flare. The spark in his eyes and belly, and God knows where else, had leapt over to her like a flame finding its true path from one curled wood shaving to another. She was always happier, sassier, and surer of herself after John Chapman visited. Tired as he was, James could not sleep while John Chapman's voice drilled through the cabin with the persistence of a swamp mosquito. He might have managed if he had joined his children up in the attic, but he did not want to leave the bed across the room from the hearth like an open invitation. After 20 years together, he no longer lusted after Sadie as he once had, particularly since Applejack had brought out her vicious side. But when John Chapman came to see the Goodenoughs, James found himself noting the heft of her breasts beneath her threadbare blue dress and the surprise of her waist, thicker but still intact after 10 children. He did not know if John Chapman noticed such things as well. For a man in his 60s, he was still lean and vigorous despite the iron gray in his unkempt hair. James did not want to find out. John Chapman was an apple man who paddled up and down Ohio rivers in a double canoe full of apple trees, selling them to settlers. He first appeared when the Goodenoughs were new arrivals in the Black Swamp, bringing his boatload of trees and mildly reminding them that they were expected to grow 50 fruit trees on their claim within 3 years if they wanted to hold on to it legally. In the law's eyes, an orchard was a clear sign of a settler's intention to remain. James bought 20 trees on the spot. He did not want to point a finger at John Chapman for their subsequent misfortunes, but occasionally he was reminded of this initial sale and grimaced. On offer were 1-year-old seedlings or 3-year-old saplings, which were 3 times the price of seedlings, but would produce fruit 2 years sooner. If he had been sensible, and he was sensible, James would simply have bought 50 cheaper seedlings, cleared a nursery space for them, and left them to grow while he methodically cleared land for an orchard whenever he had the time. But it would also have meant going 5 years without the taste of apples. James Goodenough did not think he could bear that loss for so long, not in the misery of the Black Swamp with its stagnant water, its stench of rot and mold, its thick black mud that even scrubbing couldn't get out of skin and cloth. He needed a taste to sweeten the blow of ending up here. Planting saplings meant they would have apples 2 years sooner, and so he bought 20 saplings he could not really afford, and took the time he did not really have to clear a patch of land for them. That put him behind on planting crops, so that their first harvest was poor, and they got into a debt he was still paying off 9 years on. "They're my trees," Sadie insisted now, laying claim to a row of 10 spitters James was planning to graft into eaters. "John Chapman gave them to me 4 years ago. You can ask him when he comes back. He'll remember. Don't you dare touch him." She took a knife to a side of ham to cut slices for supper. "We bought those seedlings from him. He didn't give them to you. Chapman never gives away trees, only seeds. Seedlings and saplings are worth too much for him to give away. Anyway, you're wrong. Those trees are too big to be from seeds planted 4 years ago, and they're not yours. They're the farm's. As he spoke, James could see his wife blocking out his words, but he couldn't help piling sentence upon sentence to try to get her to listen.